May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 278. I know the Lord is nigh, and would but cannot pray, for Satan meets me when I try, and frights my soul away. Hymn 278. readings from God's holy word are from the book of Ezra, chapters 9 and part of chapter 10. The book of Ezra, chapter 9 and chapter 10, reading down to verse 17. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, "The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass." And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished. Then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees, and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, "O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up into the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes, and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, 'The land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness.' Now therefore, give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth for ever, that ye may be strong, and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children for ever. And after all that is come upon us for our evil deeds, and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hast given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hadst consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. And Shechaniah the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, We have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives, and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God. And let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Then arose Ezra and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word. And they swear. Then Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan the son of Eliashib. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. And they made proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of the captivity, that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem, and that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited, and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month, on the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter, and for the great rain. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, Ye have transgressed, and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, As thou hast said, so must we do. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without. Neither is this a work of 1 day or 2. For we are many that have transgressed in this thing. Let now our rulers of all the congregation stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come at appointed times, and with them the elders of every city and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. Only Jonathan the son of Asahel and Jehaziah the son of Tikvah were employed about this matter, and Meshullam and Shabbethai the Levite helped them. And the children of the captivity did so. And Ezra the priest, with certain chief of the fathers, after the house of their fathers, and all of them by their names, were separated, and sat down in the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. And they made an end with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, how we do need thee now to grant to us thy divine help, thy divine aid, as we venture to worship thee. Oh, we pray for the sweet influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, for thy sweet and sacred presence to be known and to be felt, both in our hearts and too within these walls. And oh, that thou wouldst shut the world out, Lord, and keep Satan from the doors of the sanctuary and from the doors of our hearts. And oh, that we may be shut in with thee. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt come and meet the cases of thy dear people. Oh, do suit thyself to every sinner's case. And may the needy have their needs supplied. May those, Lord, that truly seek thy face sweetly prove that they shall not seek thy face in vain. May those that are cast down, Lord, be lifted up by thee. And may those in bondage be set at liberty. And oh, do confirm those that need a heavenly confirmation. Oh, how many times we read in thy word, dear Lord, of how thou didst confirm the souls of thy people and confirm thy word to. And oh, we pray that thou wilt grant gracious encouragement to those that need encouraging in the way. And those, Lord, that are devil hunted and tempted sore by the adversary, may they see thy hand working and Satan cast out. And thy dear people be brought into a wealthy place. We pray that thou wilt give us each grace to endure to the end and to hold on our way. And oh, do remove from us, Lord, everything of the flesh, everything of our carnal mind. And may we be as dear John of old and be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And oh, that thou wouldst remember, Lord, the dear children. We do thank thee for safe deliverance for Sarah and for the dear little babe thou hast blessed her and David with. We pray that she may be raised up to be a real Ruth in the house of God in days to come, if thou dost spare time. Do abundantly bless them together. And may they be able to say in it all, my Jesus hath done all things well. We pray for each of the dear young ones and those that have not been well, Lord, and those not well at this time. We pray for healing and restoring mercies to them. And that thou wilt grant that strengthening, Lord, both of body and of mind and of soul. And Lord, do remember all the dear young ones and bless the Sabbath school. And may thy word that is lovingly set forth there bear fruit. And be as bread cast upon the waters and seen after many days. And may the prayers of the dear parents be heard and answered for their offspring. And may there be raised up a seed that shall serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. We pray for those sweet encouragements to those that teach them. May they have the sweet assurance that they labour not in vain, nor spend their strength for naught. Do remember the dear young people, help them at college, university, those in work, Lord. And may they be guided and directed of thee and commit their way to thee. And oh, may it please thee to raise them up to be useful in Zion in their day and generation. They may follow on to know the Lord and to obey his commandments. We do pray for all thy afflicted people, the many, Lord, and thy servants in affliction. Oh, do make each bed in these afflictions, Lord. And if it's thy holy will, do send that needed healing. And may these things, O Lord, be a voice to us each, for we know not what a day or an hour will bring forth. But oh, may we be prepared for the great day of death and a vast eternity. Oh, do come and assure us, Lord, thou hast loved us ere time began, that thou hast chosen us, that thou hast redeemed us, and that we are thine. We pray that we might each have that real religion that's more than notion. And we may be truly taught of the Lord. And oh, we pray, dear Lord, for thy rich blessing upon this corner of thy vineyard. We would praise and bless thy holy name for all thou hast done in this year and in the past, Lord. We would praise thee for all thy goodness and be truly thankful for present and yet ask for more. Oh, that thou wouldst yet constrain others to follow thee. And oh, may it please thee to fulfil thy promise, for thou didst say, and the Lord shall add unto the churches such as should be saved. And Lord, we pray for it in our own flock at home, that there may be those yet made willing in the day of thy power. And Lord, who call by grace any that as yet know thee not, and may there be an awakening even in this village of many sinners round to come and fill the place. Lord, the power's thine. Do quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. We would pray for all that are in need. Lord, who help thy dear servants, particularly as they go forth, thy dear servant with our own flock today. And may be graciously anointed and helped. And as thou hast blessed his ministry here, Lord, and other places, we pray that thou would abundantly bless it today. And be with him in all the burdens and cares and weights that he carries. And oh, we pray for each of thy servants, that thou wilt anoint them with that heavenly oil, that they may be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And oh, do come, Lord, and revive thy work in these dark and solemn days throughout Zion. And may we yet see the wonders God alone can do. We pray for our guilty nation. Lord, thou seest all the solemn state we're in, the confusion that reigns. But, O Lord, we thank thee, thou art on the throne. There is no confusion with thee. And what thou dost is ever best. We beg of thee to appear in all the turmoil there is, and make bare thine arm and work. And oh, may we yet see the wonders God alone can do. Oh, do hear the cries of those at Zion cry over the abominations done in the land. Leave us not, nor forsake us, O God of our salvation. We pray thou wilt bless our Queen and the royal household, and may they be truly taught of thee, and brought to set a right example in the land. And may our rulers and leaders and Prime Minister, Lord, be brought to seek thy face and thy will in all the things of this nation. Lord, do turn us, as thou hast said in thy word, and ye shall be turned. Save us, and ye shall be saved. Oh, do hear us in these things, we beg. Do come, Lord, and give us a heart to praise thee and bless thee for all thy great mercies. We would not let them lie, forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises die. Do bless the deacons and help them, help our dear friend in the desk, and do bless the hymns he gives out, and may they prove to be thy choice, and may there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. Lord, we would not multiply words, but oh, we would beg of thee to come and help us now. Grant us that voice to speak, a hearing ear to thy dear people. And oh, may we see by faith no man save Jesus only. May Christ be first and Christ be last, and Christ be all in all. forgive what we've uttered amiss, our many, many sins. How we need washing, dear Lord, in that precious fountain that's open for sin and uncleanness. That fountain of thy precious blood. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 874. Lord, if with thee part I bear, if I through thy word am clean, in thy mercy if I share, if thy blood has purged my sin, to my needy soul impart thy good spirit from above, to enrich my barren heart with humility and love. Hymn 874.
Thank you.
asking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the book of Ezra, chapter 10, and the fourth verse. The book of Ezra, chapter 10, and verse 4. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. The book of Ezra, chapter 10, and verse 4. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. We don't often hear the book of Ezra read in public, but in it are some most deep and profound and sacred truths in God's holy word. Secondly, it is very seldom preached from. But the Lord has laid this word upon me with a great measure of weight, and I trust it is the Lord's message to bring before you. Now Ezra, who was appointed of God in his day, and he and Nehemiah and others were to be wonderfully used by God in their day and generation, especially for the pulling down of the strongholds of Satan, the building up of God's work. And here, as our text speaks of, this matter belongeth unto thee. There were some solemn matters that concerned Ezra. Firstly, the sad state of the Lord's people, how they had wandered from the Lord and gone into abominations that were displeasing to the Lord, and to had defiled themselves by company and themselves with the, we may say, with the world and with the ungodly. And this really was a great matter that burdened Ezra. Now, let's pause a moment. Of you and I, a matter that really concerns us today. Maybe in our souls, maybe in our pathway, in our families, in the Church of God, this matter. And we, of course, have the solemn state of the nation, and I thought, as our dear brother read the chapters to us this morning, how really this word is very relevant concerning the nation. You see, we've been in league with Europe all these years, and the abominations of Europe have filtered into this land and many ways defiled it, like the people were here. They were defiled by the abominations of those lands, the Canaanites and the Hittites, and we could name them all, the Perizzites and so on. And it was a great burden to Ezra, a matter that greatly concerned him. But then, the second thing was this. They had given their sons to strange wives, and their daughters to strange men, which was completely contrary to God's commandment. And this was another matter that really exercised and burdened Ezra. It was a really, putting it simply and in a few words, going completely contrary to God's word, his laws, his commandments, all had taken place. But there was a third matter that greatly burdened Ezra, and that was his prayers before God. You see, the Lord had laid these things upon him, and they were great matters, as I've tried to indicate. But he was greatly concerned that his prayers might be real and that they might be of God and that he would answer them in his time and in his way. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to have such exercise characters in a land. You think, really, this nation has had some wonderful characters over the years, godly, gracious men and godly, gracious women that have carried these matters, the matters of their soul, the matters of their loved ones, the matters of their pathways, and the matters of Zion, and to the matters of the nation. And what did they do? They spread it all before the Lord. And may we lay to heart this morning the great need of spreading our matters before him. The word here from the Lord to Ezra was very clear: arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. The Lord had particularly laid it upon Ezra, upon thee. And there may be those things that are laid upon you, you see. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. It wasn't for somebody else. It was for him personally. And he got to carry it and be exercised and burdened in it. Really, this is a wonderful word, really. And I don't know, as I said at the commencement, why the Lord has so laid it on me. But in trying to seek the Lord on Friday for a word to bring before you, the Lord seemed to breathe this word into my heart: arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Now, I don't know what it may be with you, but the Lord does. And if he applies this word, then you will need grace to walk it out and to do exactly what the Lord has said. Well, this is what Ezra was burdened with. Well, let us look at it in a few ways as we may be helped just briefly this morning. Firstly, let's look at this word arise. It's a wonderful word, that is, you know. Arise. If you go into Luke's Gospel, you will find the case of Jesus entering into the city of Nain in chapter 7. And as he entered into the city, they brought a young man out dead. the only son of his mother. And there was great weeping and mourning because of it. And what did Jesus say to this young man as he lay upon that bier? Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And immediately arose. Such was the power of the words of the Saviour to him. The Lord brought him from death into life. And you know, as we are born by nature into this earth, we are dead to the things of God. And we shall never arise out of it unless the Lord is pleased to raise us. And what is there in this beautiful word, arise? Resurrection power. You think of the Saviour on that glorious day of the resurrection. Laid down his precious life at Calvary. Laid in the tomb 3 days and three nights. And on that glorious resurrection morn, he arose. Just as that young man did. And so will each the soul of his dear people arise when he brings them from death into life. Arise. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? And it may be there's one here feeling to be in a dead state. It's a solemn state to be in, you know. And there were many in Ezra's day, as we've read in the lesson, they were dead in sin, wallowing in it. The day was to come where the Lord was to raise them out of it all, to serve him and to seek his face. Be a wonderful thing in Swavesey, you know, to see many, wouldn't it, rise from death into life. Arise. And only the Lord can do it as he raised that dear lad in Luke chapter 7. And we think of Saul of Tarsus. You know, if you go into Acts chapter 9, you will find how the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street. He says to Ananias, for behold, he prayeth. And the Lord was to wonderfully raise Saul out of that dead state he was in. Got ever so much natural religion, lived a Pharisee, but the Lord was to raise him out of it all. And do we not long in Zion to see many raised from death into life? When you read back in the history of the church and through our own little denomination, how many marked characters the Lord said to her, arise. And they had to leave all their livelihood sometimes and their sinful ways and the idolatry they were in and seek his face and serve him. And so did Saul of Tarsus have to leave it all. But we think too of, and I seek to be led into this, of the Church of God in the Song of Solomon, the Bride of Christ. There's a beautiful word in that second chapter that she speaks of. And what does she say? My beloved spake, and he said unto me, rise up, my love. My fair one, and come away, for lo, the winter is past. You know, she'd been in the winter. And you know, in winter time, looking at it naturally, there's The trees look dead. Everything looks barren. There's little life to be seen in the plants, in the trees, and the little growth. And that's how she was. She felt in her heart to be in the winter. And not only this, there was coldness. You know, sometimes we feel, if we've got life in our souls, we feel how cold we are, don't we? How dead we are in the things of God, in a lifeless state. And she couldn't bring herself up out that winter, could she? And you cannot bring yourself up out of this. Ezra couldn't lift himself above all what he was in to deal with these matters without the Lord speaking such a word as this, arise. For this matter belongeth unto thee. And you think of the spouse, she said, my beloved spake. And he said unto me, rise up, my love. Oh, may the Lord whisper to your heart and mine this morning. Rise up, my love. And as he speaks it, he'll convey that power with the word and bring you up out of that cold, dead state, that lifeless state, that prayerless state. To serve him and to seek his face and to be well exercised concerning your own soul and the prosperity of Zion. Arise. It was a clear commandment, wasn't it? Oh, it was. Arise. For this matter, whatever the matter may be, if it's of God, he'll cause you to arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. The Lord has fitted it, you see, to Ezra's shoulders. It's like the old yokes they used to have for carrying buckets of water. They used to make them to fit the shoulders of the person to carry them. So the weight was evenly distributed. Fitted to them. And there are things, you know, the Lord fits to his dear people. And he did here with Ezra. For this matter belongeth unto thee. Nobody else, it was unto thee. God had put it upon him. And let us look at a few characters in the Word of God where the Lord so beautifully spoke this word, arise. If you go back into the case of Joshua, Lord Moses had wonderfully been led by God and carried along by the Lord to lead the children of Israel. The Lord had appointed that for him. This was the path that Moses had got to tread. And he could take the children of Israel right to the borders of the promised land, but he was not allowed to take them in because he came to represent God's law. And the Lord had appointed Joshua to take the children of Israel into the promised land. It was a matter that was laid upon Joshua. But how to do it after following such a man as Moses, whom the Lord had so been with, how could he do it? You know, I often feel this when I go in my pulpit at the Decker and I think of the late Mr. Sperling Tyler, who was pastor for 50 years, and I think of the power of his ministry and how the Lord so favoured him. I know a little bit how Joshua felt when the Lord laid upon him the great burden, the matter as our text says, to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And you go to that first book of Joshua, there's a beautiful word. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. A clear command, wasn't it? Just as it is in our text. You know, there are times where we stagger along in the dark and we cannot see our way, and sometimes we have to venture by faith. But there are times where the Lord will give a clear command to his dear people. And I feel, regarding Joshua and regarding Ezra here, it was a clear command. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. And this is what he got to do. And that's, as I may have told you before, but that's a precious word to me, that was. When I was exercised about the ministry in 1965, and the late beloved pastor at Staplehurst died very suddenly. And I remember going into that chapel, and dear Mr. Moody came at the last moment, as it were, to preach. And because the pastor lay dead, and he preached from that word, you know. And it was a wonderful word to me. I've never forgotten. Moses, my servant, is dead. He said, from the pulpit, he said, friends, he said, your pastor's dead. The commission is for a young man to arise. Joshua had got to lead the children of Israel. Now, therefore, arise. And it may be in this matter that's upon you. You may say, what shall we do, Lord? You may have come up this morning, as I did that day. What shall we do? He reminds me, some years ago now, I think it was into the year 2000, it was year 2000, I was due to preach at Pickhill at Horam that Sunday evening. It was there the second Sunday, if I remember rightly, in April. And I got no text. I thought, however shall I go? And the Lord dropped this text. I think it's the only time I've ever preached from it before. Into my heart. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. And I ventured with it. I didn't know who was going to be there, or what the state of the people were going to be in, or what the reason why I had the text. You know, there was a dear man there, and I didn't know till afterwards all about it, but he'd been offered a position in the company he worked for, in the head office. And he didn't know what to do, because he knew he meant moving from Sussex up the country. What should he do? His dear wife was unsettled about it. How can we do this? And all he could do was lay the matter before the Lord. What shall we do, Lord? And he came up that Sunday night begging of the Lord that whatever I preach from, he would do. And this was the text, arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. He went home to his dear wife, who was looking after the children. He said, well, I know what we've got to do. The Lord made it clear, you see. And he had to obey it. We know it meant moving. We know it meant much to him, leaving his loved ones in Sussex and so on, but that was the command of God. And so it proved to be of the Lord. And he had to venture in it. You see, the Lord will give, like he did to Ezra here, that venturing faith to obey what the Lord says. Now you think in a matter like that of providence, it was a wonderful word. Let me give you another illustration of it. Some years ago, I went to preach at one of our chapels, and the dear deacon, he said to me, he said, "You know, I've been so exercised. We've been without a pastor for so many years." And he said, "I've been so exercised that the Lord would lay upon me a man to ask to come as pastor, so I could bring it to the church." And he said, "All I could do was pray and pray and pray in the matter." And he said, on one day he was in such a state about it all, it was so heavily laid upon him. He said, "I got on my knees before the God of heaven and wrestled with the Lord that whatever I opened the word on, he would tell me what to do. Whether I'd got to sit still, whether I'd got to venture forward, or what I'd got to do." And he said, "I opened the word of God." And he opened it right on our text. "Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it." He said, "I knew what I got to do. I could go to that next church meeting clear in my mind and in my heart. This was what I got to do." And he brought the matter to the church. And the church were with him in it. You see, our text speaks. And it's a wonderful word, really. "We also will be with thee." Now you think of Ezra making all these reforms, which they got to according to the law, and bring the people back to where they should have been in serving the Lord, obeying his commandments. How would they do it? Would they rebel? Would they kick against it? The word of God was clear. "We also will be with thee." And you know, as the dear deacon said to me, he said, "We also," he said, that was a great comfort in that the church would be with him in it. "We also will be with thee." And they were to be with Ezra in it. They were. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, when you've got those with you in it. Some of you may be in trial or trouble today and many things that burden you. But it's a wonderful thing when there are those with you trying to pray you along in it and help you along in it. Maybe in a practical way. It may be in prayer carrying you along. "We also will be with them." But there's a greater meaning than this, which I want to set before you because it's been so laid on me. Not only were the people to be with him, and those who are around him, and maybe with you, and be a gracious encouragement to you. The greater meaning is this. The Lord was going to be with him in it. "We also." Now what does that "we" mean? "We also will be with thee." Well, let me tell you. And this is just how it's laid upon me. It means the whole Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because you see, if a thing's of God, the whole Trinity will be with you in it. Oh, yes. And that's a wonderful thing. We also will be with them. And if the Lord speaks such a word as this to your heart and to mine, that'll be a great comfort to you and great encouragement and help you to venture, like Ezra had to hear, to obey the commandment of God. We also will be with thee. The Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. The seal, if I may put it so, of heaven was to be on it. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. And you think, if I may use just briefly a simple illustration of it, concerning Peter on the housetop in Joppa. You know, the Jews had no dealings with the Gentiles, and the Lord showed Peter on that housetop in Joppa that great sheet sent from heaven with all manner of creeping things in it. And he says to Peter, arise and eat. How could Peter do it? And yet the Lord had spoken it. But the Lord wonderfully manifested to Peter there, didn't he? Call nothing what God hath cleansed. He could eat even of that which seemed impossible. But he showed Peter in that vision, and this is the point, that what he got to do. Because there were three men come from Cornelius's house seeking Peter. And what did the Lord, what do we read? The Lord has recorded in his word, behold, three men seek thee. Arise and go with them. See that beautiful word, arise again. Go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Beautiful word that is, isn't it? Arise and go with them, doubting nothing. For I have sent them. And the Lord showed Peter with that sheet that these people, though the sheet spoke of on those things that were common and unclean, God, what God hath cleansed, call that now not common or unclean. And he would go down to that Gentile house. The message was clear. Arise, for this matter be unto thee, Peter. You've got to go down there. I may drop a personal note, you know. I was so troubled back in 2009, or was it 2012, whichever one it was, but when I was invited to go to Canada, there were mountains of obstacles. How could we go? Everything seemed against it. And I had difficulty getting insurance. There were much opposition of one sort or another. And I thought, however shall I go? We got almost beside myself, I did, because of it all. And I said to my dear wife, I said, well, we'll go down to Eastbourne and see what the Lord's servant has to say about it all. You know, dear Mr. Sperling Tyler, he used to say to his flock, he said, you know, I'm here as your beloved pastor. I listen to what you have, to troubles and that. I'm quite willing to listen. But he said, the best thing for you is to take them all to the Lord, not bring them to me. Take them to the Lord and go up to the house of God and look for the answer. Well, that's what we did. We went down to Eastbourne looking for the answer. Lord, what shall we do? It's all impossible. And there are those things maybe with you. You look at the matters that trouble you today and you may say, Lord, but it's all impossible. It is with you, it is with me, but it's not impossible with the Lord. And we went there, and our dear Mr. Seth Mercer, he preached from these words, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And during his discourse, he looked first at that case where that text is found, about washing the disciples' feet, and like we've sung in that beautiful hymn just now, the great need, they'd all got to be humbled in the dust. But then he said, I want to look at it concerning Peter on the housetop in Joppa. He said, and the message is clear tonight, and this is what you've got to do, though it's impossible with you. Behold, three men seek thee. Arise and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And that's what you got to do. You know, when I think back on it now, it melts me to think of it, how the Lord so worked. And we went home and all the impossibilities were just rolled away. All they were. We just looked on. And that's a wonderful place, you know. Ezra here. The message was clear from heaven, wasn't it? There was no doubt in the message. The doubt is often with us, isn't it? And unbelief creeps in and says, Lord, it's all impossible. Arise for this matter. Now the Lord knows, and in your heart and in mine, what this matter means, what it is with you. Arise for this matter belongeth unto thee. The devil will say to you, oh, but that's for somebody else. But poor soul, the text doesn't say that, does it? It belongeth unto thee. And when the Lord speaks such a word as that, he'll sweep the devil away in a moment and he'll make the passage clear. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. It's personal. We also will be with thee. And don't forget what I've said. Not only there'll be those with you in it, but the Lord of the blessed Trinity with you in it. Be of good courage and do it. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £705, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. Mr. Timothy Parish is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Gerald Buss next Lord's Day. And Sunday school today will be at Greenside Close. Let us close with hymn 337. From Egypt lately freed by the Redeemer's grace, a rough and thorny path we tread in hopes to see his face. Hymn 337. Thank you.
after you, Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Do bless thy own precious word. May it be applied with power to our souls. Do be with us now in the interval. Come up with us through the rest of the day, if it would please thee. Forgive anything thy pure eyes see amiss. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.